Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Please be seated. I'd like you to turn to the book of Psalms this morning. I'd like to invite the kids to come down. Come on down, kids. Just kind of sit here, if you would. Right on this side of me there. That's a good spot. Yeah, good. I'll move this over a little bit. I'm really thirsty this morning. Oh, I put hot water with my lemonade. Oh, well. You guys ever get really thirsty? Ever get thirsty? So thirsty you can hardly talk? You know? Have you been thirsty when it got really hot out? Oh, man, it's been so hot. I've been so thirsty. Oh, that helps a little bit. You know, when you're thirsty, you don't just want anything, right? If I said, here's some mud water, would you like that? What would you say? So you got to have the right stuff to drink, right? Can't just be mud water, you know. Sometimes I can give you something else that you don't like, you know, some drink or soda. Ooh, I hate that kind of, you don't want that either, do you? It's got to be. Yeah, do you like water? I like water. I like water, yeah. I don't like hot lemonade, but it'll do this morning because I used the wrong thing. Oh, it's better. I'm doing this on purpose. I want you to listen to what I'm going to read to you right now. Okay? This is from a psalm. And it says this. As a deer, pants for streams of water, meaning when the deer's really thirsty, so my soul pants. You ever seen a dog pant? That means it's right. Pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Now that's the way the text starts. And it's a good text. And it talks about being thirsty, being so thirsty that you just will do just about anything for a glass of water. Mom, I really need water. I can't even, my throat is so, sometimes my kids would do that to me. They'd be, here's some water, have some of mine. Or you give them popsicle too. That works too. Did you know, say second of popsicles? But here's the second part of this thing. Here's a man, and he wants God in his life so bad. But listen to this part now, okay? Where is my God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast? Downcast. Have you ever been sad? Downcast. All right. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Now, two things in this, and we're going to talk about it later in the sermon. First thing, being thirsty for God. Okay, that's an easier one. The second one is in this part of the story, what he's doing here. He's talking about how sad he is. God is nowhere. I can't find him. It's so bad. Do any of you ever do that? Do you ever get so angry or sad you talk to yourself? Have you ever talked to yourself? When people get older, they sometimes talk to yourself. You ever seen your mom or dad do that? Mom, who are you talking to? Oh, myself. Leave me alone, right? And they're going, now where did I put that? I always talk to myself. What did I come in here for? You know, where did I leave that? Oh, you're so stupid. Why can't you remember where you put that? That's God talking to yourself. And sometimes we talk to ourselves. And it's nice talk, okay? Sometimes we talk to ourselves, and we're kind of mean. We tell ourselves we're stupid, or we tell ourselves we're not as good as somebody else, or we tell ourselves nobody will ever love me the way they like you, or I'll never be as good at baseball as you are, or we just tell ourselves all kinds of things. So in this sermon today, I want to remember two important things. first one, I want to make sure everybody in church is thirsty for God. Almost like a cold glass of clear water. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the first one. And the second one, I want everybody to remember, don't talk bad to yourself. Don't talk bad to yourself. You know what? God loves you. So here's God. Just pretend God's right here. And he's looking at you. And I'm going to be like one of you. And you're going, I'm so stupid. Nobody will ever love me. Right? And God's going, wait a minute. I love you. You're not stupid. There's nobody like you in the whole world. I love you so much. And he's trying to help you understand. But you're down to go, oh, Lord, I'm so bad. I'm so, right? So the lesson, second lesson is, I want you to remember to learn to say the good things that God says about each and every one of you. Two things, thirsty for God. Second thing, when we let ourselves talk to ourselves, we want to learn to tell ourselves what God says about me. Do you know what? He loves me even when I get old. He loves you even when you're a little kid. You know what? You're just as special when you're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as I am when, oh, you get so old, I can't even remember the numbers. He loves us all, and he cares about us, and he's got something for us to do that nobody else can do, that he has a job for us. And so that's what I want to try and teach the big people today. Can you remember that? Good. I have a treat for you. All right. They're all the same, so just reach in and grab one. Trying to get any on the floor. There you go. And if you don't like it, give it to somebody who does. You can give it to somebody else who does. That's all right. As far as we can tell, David wrote this psalm. And it gives us a lot of insight into what it feels like to be King David. In other words, the psalms kind of reveal the man's heart. And the nice part about knowing King David's heart is you're given an opportunity to say, God really does understand that. King David went through that too. Here was a man who wrote psalms of praise, anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit, that are part of Scripture. But even within the songs and psalms of praise, there's pain. There's this side of David that gets beat up or beat down, we might say today. It's a kind of we're a little bit of both and David reveals that in this text, because as he goes, my soul is longing, I'm thirsty after God, I want God so bad. And then as he goes on a little bit farther on, he says this in verse 3, I skipped this part, sorry, I misread it when I read it to the kids. My tears have been my food day and night, verse 3. While men say to me all day long, where's your God? The mocking, the ridicule, the put down, okay? And he goes, my tears. I don't know. I've known times in my life when I've cried and shed tears. And certainly have gone through times in my life when the particular thing I'm carrying or going through or feeling is overwhelming for me. And so when David puts down here, says, my tears have been my food day and night. Some people, when they get so put down and hurt, they'll stop eating. And David said, the only thing I have had are the tears that have been pouring out of my eyes. This is a crying unto God he's doing. This is a pain and a questioning and a searching, because he goes on, where is your God? I'm sorry, the people ask, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Then he turns to himself, and this is self-talk. Watch what he does here. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? All right? Now, what? Psalm 42. You got to know that, don't you? I've been gone on vacation. Can't you read my mind? Psalm 42, verse 5. I'm sorry. Psalm 42, verse 5. Here's David. He's talking to his heart. He's talking to his soul. He has a memory. He has a remembrance of those times of jubilation, those times of celebrative praise, of closeness to God. And yet his soul isn't there. Something has happened. It isn't that he's lost his memory. It isn't that he's lost his faith. But something is major wrong in the intimacy and the relationship with God. Something feels like that's not working. And he goes in this phrase, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And I need to know that as a Christian, because inevitably, either times or circumstances or situations or some unpredictable fear or some irrational fear can sometimes overwhelm us. Life goes in a direction we don't expect. A situation changes that we have no control over, and we are simply being affected by it. Things go in directions that we just feel both the insecurity and the fear and the uncertainty that we can talk about. And here's David having this conversation within himself, and he's speaking to both sides. David is very real here at this point. He's talking about this as, why are you so downcast? We would say, why are you so sad? Why are you depressed? Why are you so frustrated? Why are you so angry? You fill it in with that part of your personhood that has that particular thing that isn't where God wants it to be. And it can be there for a variety of reasons, some under your control, some totally outside your control, some that have logic and reason to them, some that have illogic and reason, a lack of reason to them. And here you are in the middle of this. What I want you to hear is the humanity, the reality of King David having this conversation, dialoguing within himself, knowing that which is right and good and true, but his soul, the part of him, the emotions, the feelings, the attitudes, not able to grasp or hold on to them right now. And so he goes in this verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he speaks to his soul, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hebron, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Now in that language, it's kind of, you're supposed to get a picture of being beaten against the rocks. This is not, I had a bad day. I have a flat tire. This is the one where you ever talked about those accumulations? We kind of, do you know what happened to me in the last, 3 weeks? And we start going through our accumulations list. This happened, and this happened, and this happened. And just when I thought I wasn't going to get beat down anymore, I was beaten down again. That's what's happening here. This is David speaking about that as though I am being smashed down. Each time I try to lift myself up, a wave larger than the last one comes and slams me back down again. It is as though I have no place to go. I can't lift myself up. There is this emptying out of any hope within me that David is experiencing. And so here you have this kind of contrast, and he goes through that in verse 7. And then in verse 8 it goes on, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Is it okay to talk to God like that? God, I'm really hurting. I can't lift my head up. My circumstances are killing me. People I love are falling apart. Marriages I care about are not sustaining themselves. Children who I love are going in directions I don't want them to go. My friend has cancer. My other friend has cancer. And it knocks on the door of my heart every once in a while. When will my, and it comes and it goes. And you just accumulate those things. And David cries out. And I want you to give, you know, I want us to be given permission within our own heart. Part of being real in our relationship with God is that ability to cry out, that ability to recognize that sometimes wave upon wave upon wave comes. Sometimes it has nothing to do that you've necessarily done some stupid, sinful, wicked thing. It is just the nature of what it means to be out on the sea of life and the unpredictabilities of what come against you. And it feels, in some cases, overwhelming. Sometimes the same waves can hit you. It's like when I'm out in the sailboat, I can take an 8-foot wave, and I love it. And the boat rises up, and it crashes down, and the bow goes under the water, and there's this crash of water on either side of that boat, and I love it. If I stand on shore, and I take an 8-foot wave, the sucker just about puts me down. In one position, I can be celebrating and excited and trying to maintain my foothold or my handhold on shore or standing in the sand or trying to climb up a rock with eight-foot waves crashing in behind you. If you've ever been on the ocean or seen the waves come in on the rocks or something like that, you know it's a totally different level of experience in life. And so sometimes it isn't even just the circumstance. I've lost friends. When I was about 7 years old, I had a friend die of polio. Those of you old enough understand that was before they got the cure and the being able to deal with it. Little neighborhood friend died of polio. I know death. I've heard of death. I lost a grandpa and then a grandma, and I've understood those things. And sometimes those are big waves, but I ride them. For some reason, I'm just out there like on the boat, and they come and the bow lifts itself up and it crashes down, and you giggle and laugh almost in a sense of a feeling confidence even in the middle of the unpredictability of it. And then something changes. Life, circumstance, age, the person who gets sick, the person who gets ill, the situation, and suddenly you find yourself almost overwhelmed by the smallest of things. As though that small little word, that little bitty insult, that little look that someone can give you at church or in your own family can just cut you, and you can find yourself going from 0 to 10 in terms of your anger or reaction or frustration and your bitterness. And people look at you and go, "What's wrong with you?" And you sometimes understand it and sometimes you don't understand it. And it just overcomes you. And I'm going, it's part of being human that God is helping you understand here in David. David's frustration is dealing with, he's now a king. He's now established. He's not battling every day like he had to before he became king. He's not wondering every day whether someone's going to come and kill him the same way he did before. And yet, for whatever reason, David is feeling this hit. These waves come at him, and they hit him differently. Now, you can walk around and beat yourself up going, "Well, how come I can't handle this particular situation like I handle that particular situation?" And I go, there is no call and there's no benefit. It's accepting where I happen to be. At that point, I had a different level of strength and confidence, a different level of intimacy with God. Like David says, and I remember when I would celebrate, my hands would be up, and I would just be lifted up in praise. And then David comes over to this other side, and yet on this hand, I'm feeling, "Oh God, where are you? Why don't you hear my prayer?" David goes on. Verse 9, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Where is your God?" Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. One of the things we forget is you're going to win. Read the end of the story. You win. The things that we deal with now are nothing compared to the glory we will have with the Lord. The situations that we are struggling with, we're permitted to struggle with. Not that I can walk around justifying my anger, my bitterness, my frustration. I don't want to go in that kind of a path, but I want to recognize it's real. There are times when you just feel beaten down, when life and circumstances and job and finances are just in your face and there is no juice left inside of you. And God in David is speaking to his soul, and you hear David crying out these both and, oh God, where are you? And he cries out to his own soul and he speaks to his soul the truth. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. David understood something in his intimacy with God that we need to hang on to. David lived it out in a very public way in the situation with his sin with Bathsheba. David, you're the man. You committed the adultery. And David drops his head and he finally comes to the end of himself and he confesses the wretchedness of his life and the behavior that he was doing. And in the middle of that, he experiences the mercy and the grace of God again. You see, one of the things that happens in life is life and circumstance. Satan sometimes tries to just hide the presence of God. Sometimes just like a fog rolling in, there's all this beauty in front of you, but you cannot see it for right now. It still exists, and you speak it out like looking out over the water and saying, I know that beauty and those places still are there. I just can't see them right at the moment. And I will put my trust in God. One of the hard things that challenges us is learning to walk by faith. Learning to entrust ourselves to God even when the situation seems to cry out to us, give up, shut down, turn away, give up on the situation, the person, or whatever it is. And God continues to speak. Because if you put this psalm together with all the other things that David puts out and pulls out, In the situation, if you go back two psalms to one of my favorite psalms, which is Psalm 40, David, in the same kind of thing, goes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. I'm in Psalm 40, verse 1. Out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. The word is this. This is not the end. If today someone who you love dies, that is not the end. You have to understand there is more that happens in life and in death and in resurrection and in the presence of God, and you have to live in the assurance that what God is carrying you through is also going to be carrying you into whatever that place is that He needs you to be. The circumstances that we live in now, though unpredictable, though sometimes longer than we can easily put up with, God still assures us, I'm listening, I am hearing. And David had both these things, and the reason I love him is because he's real. Can I say, I know what it's like to get my feet pulled out of the mire and the clay and be set on the rock of Jesus' salvation and have a song of joy put in my mouth? I remember that. Can I be honest enough to look at you and say, today I feel like I'm caught in the muck and the mire of my life. Can you hold on to me? Can you just help me? That's real too. And here's God as he sits up there going, I have not left you. And he pulls me back out. That's the victory that's promised to me. And so no matter what our situation is in, God is calling us to live in this kind of faith, to live in this obedience. Continue, as David had to discover, even though the enemy is whispering, where's your God? Show us your God. Show us this power. Show us this. Where's your happiness now? Where's the joy now, right? God whispers and he speaks and he says these thoughts as David discovers them. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. As you put the Psalms together, you get this reality of David. David is a man like me. David is a man like you. He has this part of him that is able to celebrate and rejoice. He has this part of him that can feel gutted and emptied out and wounded. And yet he comes before his Lord. He speaks this message of truth to his own heart. He focuses on my soul. Get your eyes back on the Lord. One of the things I've learned to be true, and which is what David revealed in Psalm 42, when my soul is down, my eyes aren't on the Lord. When the enemies are speaking loudly into my ears, my eyes are not on the Lord. When I am bitter and short-tempered, and I feel wounded easily, my eyes are not on the Lord. When I'm enslaved to a worry or a fear or an addictive behavior or anything else, my eyes are not on the Lord. When I'm beaten down by life circumstances, when I'm wounded and I can't lift myself, I learn my eyes are not on the Lord. It isn't that God forsakes me. It's that I miss the miracle of what he has for me. David's message is keep your eyes on the Lord, O my soul. Pray with me. Jesus, I thank you for Brother David. Thank you that you permitted him to reveal so much of his own pain, his woundedness. I thank you that you revealed to him how to put his confidence in you. I thank you that you love sinners. I thank you that you love the most wicked of the wicked. I thank you that you permit us to be encouraged to know that you've brought us to this point, that you are more than willing to carry us beyond where we are, that you are more than willing to lift us out of the miry clay and the pit that we put ourselves in, and that you have a heart for the lost. Lord, wrap your arms around each person here today. I pray that you'd whisper into their mind and into their spirit, that they would be filled with joy, that their hearts would be lifted up, that they would be reminded that in all things you are making them more than conquerors. I pray by your power, Lord, we would walk in the Spirit, and that in all things you would pour out your love. Come and restore and help and bring faithfulness into each of us. And no matter what the circumstances of life or the world, or what the circumstances of our particular situation will carry us through, give us, Lord, strength. Give us, Lord, a fullness of your love, and lift up our eyes and set them upon you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As the offering